Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, a senior judge in the Central Criminal Court last week questioned whether the state's adversarial legal system is fit for purpose when dealing with children. Mr. Justice Paul McDermott said that an increasing number of awful cases coming before the Central Criminal Court involve children and vulnerable witnesses being shoehorned into a system which is designed for adults. Well, one of the measures being introduced to help deal with this is the use of intermediaries. And my next guest has written about the topic in her new book, Vulnerable Witnesses and Defendants in Criminal Proceedings. And she joins me now in the studio. Dr. Miriam Delahunt is a practicing criminal barrister and has acted as an intermediary for defendants in court. You're very welcome, Miriam. Thank you for being here. I'm joined on the line too by Dr. Alan Cusack, who's from the School of Law at the University of Limerick. And Alan, thank you for being with us as well. But Miriam, I'm going to start with you. Will you explain to us who, first of all, is considered a vulnerable witness in the Irish court system?
Well, that term isn't actually defined within the legislation, but I think we know that we're talking about measures for children or for people with an intellectual disability or really cases involving sexual offences. But we have to look to the legislation to see what measures may be eligible for any particular people in those groups.
So how does this work? Because I know, as I mentioned there, you've been called into court yourself, haven't you, to
act as
an intermediary. So how does it work?
Well, I've been acting as an intermediary for defendants. The legislation really that we have is for intermediaries for prosecution witness and defence witnesses, but defendants is slightly different. Mm-hmm. But really, it's facilitating communication. And we know that our system isn't designed for people who may have vulnerabilities. So we're looking to intermediaries really as communication specialists, I suppose, who can break down questions more simply so that they can be understood by witnesses and also really assess the witness as to what communication issues they may have that can be resolved by the courts, whether that be just breaking the questions down into more simpler patterns or vocabulary or indeed how a witness might perceive time and describe time, how something an event occurred within a time or a chronological basis, or even using pictures to describe better, to give their account of what happened to them.
Okay, and is it likely that this new system might be expanded to include defendants? Is that something that's on the agenda?
It's already happening. And so it's happening in terms of prosecution witnesses and defendants. And it's been on the statute books for a long, long time, since 1992. So really the momentum gathered in the last few years, probably since the Victims Directive, and also that events that were occurring in England and Wales and Northern Ireland. So since 2016, we've been availing of the services of Northern Ireland intermediaries in Irish courts. And now, for the first time, the Department of Justice is going to have a panel that's operational, hopefully by the summer. And Alan can speak more about the training in Limerick that will establish that panel, that will then actually expand the use of intermediaries on a pilot basis.
Okay, well, Alan, let's bring you in here at this point, because you set up the first programme along with your colleagues to train intermediaries for use in this way. So how did that come about? Where did that all begin from?
Well, as Miriam explained, we had a statutory basis for intermediaries from 1992, but it was actually a really important report that was commissioned by the Department of Justice, and it was chaired by Tom O'Malley, the O'Malley Report, which was published in August 2020, which really set out the need explicitly to have Irish intermediaries so that we would no longer be relying on our colleagues in Northern Ireland to come down to assist us in our trials. And I suppose the Department of Justice, in reacting to that report, they launched a strategy called Supporting a Victim's Journey Strategy in October of 2020. And part of that strategy was a commitment to funding a training scheme for intermediaries in Ireland. And for me, I suppose I'm a lecturer in the School of Law in UL, and I did my PhD on vulnerable witnesses, but I'm also a solicitor. And I thought, you know, this is a fascinating opportunity. But I realised that as a solicitor or as a legal academic, I really only knew half of what you'd need, you know, in order to operate as an intermediary. So I got in touch with my colleagues in the School of Allied Health who contacted me. So it's an interdisciplinary programme. It's split between the School of Law and the School of Allied Health. So it's two modules which are legal modules and two modules then which are communication modules delivered by my colleagues, Dr. Mm-hmm. Anya Cairns and Dr. Aoife Gallagher.
So there aren't legal professionals, the people who are entitled to apply here, are they?
Well, this for us, for vulnerable defendants, there's a little bit more flexibility because the Department of Justice isn't really running a scheme as such at the moment for vulnerable defendants. So according to the scheme that we're administering in at the University of Limerick, in order to get into our scheme, you have to be coming from a professional background where you've 3 years full practice experience as a CORU registered either speech and language therapist, an occupational therapist or a social worker. So it's not really aimed as such. Our programme isn't aimed at lawyers. It's more aimed at communication specialists. Mm-hmm.
I mean, thinking about this, when these intermediaries are there helping with the communication, do issues arise where a barrister might pose a question, an intermediary then tries to interpret that question for the witness, and the barrister says, no, that's not what I meant. I want to use the words that I used. Miriam and Alan, I'll come back to you on that too.
Sure. Well, I think in practice what has happened is that Defence Counsel have really engaged with the reports from the assessments from the intermediaries who have met with the witnesses beforehand, and there will be a ground rules hearing in which issues like that can be ruled on as to how the vocabulary or what issues can be put to the witness and in what way can be decided by the court. And I think there has been a really positive engagement by Defence Counsel to do that because it means that I don't think any Defence Counsel wants to upset a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to defend their client, to be able to communicate simply and effectively really means that they can, to give a technical term, put their case or challenge the evidence in a more effective way. So I think really we've seen a huge momentum in this to see that there is a benefit for both prosecution and defence counsel to be able to have intermediaries who can actually modify in a way that's beneficial to both.
And acceptable to both. And do you find that, Alan, as well, that there is an acceptance and a willingness to support this?
Absolutely. I mean, part of our training is based on models which have been introduced in our neighbouring jurisdictions before. As part of that, we benefit from the expertise of the two architects of the training in England and Wales, Professor Penny Cooper and David Wurstel, and they said, look, in the beginning there was this, you know, cultural resistance, especially amongst certain barristers, to intermediaries in case they lost control of the narrative in the courtroom. But over time, experience has shown that it's actually been very beneficial to all parties. And certainly we even have case law now in Ireland from the Court of Appeal that, you know, very recent case law that says, look, you know, if an intermediary is simply aiding communication, there are no issues here and it's something that should be facilitated.
Mm-hmm. And will you explain to us how this practically works in court then? Just set it out what it looks like.
Well, based on the Department of Justice has actually only just announced that the register opened for intermediaries on Wednesday of last week. So that means for the first time in Ireland now we'll have a cohort of Irish registered intermediaries. And under the manual or the guidance manual that accompany the register, so it'll kind of, I suppose, assist those intermediaries, the idea should be that the Gardaí in their initial interactions with a vulnerable complainant or a vulnerable victim will conduct an assessment to determine what needs they have. If they identify that this person may have communication needs and would benefit from an intermediary, they'll then flag that to the office of the DPP. The DPP's office then will have a look at what kind of vulnerabilities have been highlighted, and the register actually has all of the graduates and their specialities next to their names. So they might say, look, this is an adult with dementia, or it's a child, or it's an adult with an intellectual disability, and they can identify a suitable intermediary from the scheme. They'll then conduct an assessment. They'll meet the victim or complainant or the witness, and they'll do an assessment. And they'll formulate a report, and that report then will be used in court when an application might be made then to have the intermediary formally mm-hmm. appointed to assist.
So it sounds like somebody else is making that decision to request the intermediary. Is there ever a case where the victim or the witness can say, I need an intermediary?
Well, I think that as the awareness of intermediaries, and I'm sorry to interpose there, but I think that the problem is that we've had this measure for quite some time, and I think that we have really needed this panel to increase the numbers of intermediaries in the courts. So it's been really limited, and it's been really driven by judges and barristers. I mean, it is great that the Department of Justice has seen this need for support measures, not just intermediaries, but also recorded testimony. But it's really been implemented by barristers with judicial supervision to make sure that it's there. And now that we have a panel, we're still awaiting the guidance in relation to this panel. It has been really dependent on information from England and Wales and from Northern Ireland. So I'm hoping that with an awareness, we'll have more procedural guidance and that people will have the ability to say, I know that these measures exist. Will they be suitable for the person I'm looking after if they're not able to voice it themselves, or within the community, just to say that these are measures that are available now. Mm-hmm. We've had trials delayed because intermediaries are not available. So we've really been depending on Northern Ireland intermediaries who really can't, we can't avail for the whole of 26 counties.
It's not practical.
It's just not practical. And that really causes more delays within the criminal justice system. And for people, for children, for people with an intellectual disability, delays are really just so stressful and cause so much re-traumatisation.
So can I ask you just to explain to people listening at home, given your experience and the work that you've done in the area, like how much of a difference can an intermediary make for, let's take a vulnerable witness?
If I could give you an example of a recent case, a person with an intellectual disability, a complainant who was deaf and had visual impairment, there was an assault in 1985. We didn't have the support measures at that time. She disclosed that in 2014 when she was beginning to learn sign language, and also recorded testimony for her statement was available. She worked with Garda specialist interviewers, sign language interpreters. And then when it came to trial last December, she had the available intermediary was able to actually help her in court. And she worked with pictures to be able to communicate the details of the account that had happened to the sexual offences that had happened to her in 1985. So we've seen huge progress. I just wish it was a little faster.
Mm-hmm. And Alan, how many people now are on this panel?
Well, the diploma launched last year, and we had 17 graduates from the programme last year, and we have 18 students at the moment who are due to graduate from the programme this coming summer. So that's a very healthy number. In the first 2 years of the diploma, we may now have 35 eligible candidates for that register by the end of the summer, which would be fantastic. But 17 are qualified now to our diploma.
And what is the level of demand, the level of interest in it?
The level of interest has been significant. While we were creating the diploma and while we've been delivering it for the past year and a half, we've had lots of engagement with the stakeholders throughout who feed into the training, have been very eager to know when can they access the register and when can they start using these intermediaries. So I suspect we'll see them in our courts very, very soon.
So obviously, Miriam, the demand is there and the interest is there in providing this service.
Exactly. And I think that's really the important thing to remember, is that we're giving a voice to people who might have had difficulties or who might not have had that voice before at all. If we're talking back to 1985, it was a very difficult process for somebody to be able to come and give an account of what had happened to them. So if we're talking about people now having a voice and people being able to hear and understand, and without any undermining of the defendant's rights to a fair trial, because we're still working within an adversarial system. Mm-hmm. But it does mean, and guidance in England and Wales, the title of it, I remember going back doing my research, No Witness, No Justice. So it's access to justice, it's access, giving people a voice and an access to the criminal system, which may not have been possible before.
Yeah, well, it means that people who are vulnerable might be encouraged to come forward because they know that they're going to be supported in the court system.
Exactly. And the people who are perpetrating crimes against vulnerable people will know now that they have a voice. And so that will really, that's important, that people will know that no longer are people without a voice, that they can get into the witness box and be able to tell what happened to them.
Okay, well, it's a positive development. And thank you for telling us about it. That's Miriam Delahunt and Dr. Alan Cusack. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.